Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
The honors of the name.
John Wesley, in his journal, referred to sinners discovering that they needed Christ. He said, they were awakened. Here's a lovely contemporary song. Sing along with us. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Today's message is entitled, Vine Ripened. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Amen. Friends, I'm sure I've told you this before, but it's such a great story, and I think about my own history. It's a great life to me. When I was a little boy, it was toward the end of World War II. Most of the folks on our street there in Madera, Ohio, had a garden in the backyard, and there were special signs that were given to put in the garden itself. The signs were printed on white cardboard and had letters that were in red, white, and blue. It said Victory Garden. It was, of course, because of World War II, everyone had a special garden. And I remember that my dad spent a lot of time in our garden. He was especially fond of tomatoes. He always said, look at these tomatoes. They are better than store-bought because they are vine-ripened. I confess to you that I was about 20 years old before I really knew what that meant. It seemed like the tomatoes that my dad grew smelled more like tomatoes than the ones that I could ever buy in a store somewhere. My Uncle Mike explained to me that if you let fruit stay on the vine until it ripens, it will taste much better and is probably better for you. When I was returning from a conference that Methodist Hour holds in Orlando, I stopped by one of those Florida orange growers. And as I passed that a big sign, it really caught my attention. One of those signs said, it was right out in front of this grower, it said, "Vine-ripened oranges taste better. Get them here." Well, you know, when I saw that, I remembered the image of my dad showing me those Victory Garden vine-ripened tomatoes. It really kind of moved my heart. And I knew that they would taste much better than store-bought oranges. Well, anyway, some scholars believe that Jesus was on his way to the Mount of Olives when he began to think of this image of the vine and the branches. You see, grapes were such a very important crop in Jesus' day, so important that caring for the vines was a daily task, especially now in November, December. You see, in these 2 months, most of the major pruning was done. Nearly everyone could understand this powerful analogy. The simple truth was that vines that were not cared for or pruned aggressively really bore little fruit. Young branches were pruned for 3 years straight before they were allowed to bear any fruit. Each time they were pruned, they grew a little closer to the main vine and became stronger. By the fourth year, they would bear rich, succulent fruit. That's amazing. I never realized that. But it would seem so harsh to prune what looked like perfectly good branches. But the competent vine dresser knew where and when to prune the branches so that they would bear the best fruit. You see, the vine was the source of all the strength and the nutrients for the branch. And then the task of the branch was to bear the fruit. That's a curious thing. You see, the actual wood of the branches was not strong at all. One of the sacrifices at the temple was to bring wood for the temple fires. And it was expressly written that wood from vine branches was of no value as an offering. Isn't that amazing? Well, about the only thing that could be done with this wood was to gather it and build a fire at the end of the row and cast the unworthy branches in there to be burned. And we think pretty much that it was likely that Jesus could see the fires burning in the vineyards there in the Kidron Valley as he made his way to the Mount of Olives. You must remember that for Jesus, this is a very new image. You see, there are a number of images in the Old Testament about the vine, but they all are about non-bearing vines. Hosea said of Israel, "She is an empty vine." But now Jesus takes those same images and adds life to them. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, of course, he means nothing in the kingdom. It means you can't grow the kingdom if you don't have Christ at the center of it. You know, I know a great church, or at least it used to be. It's located in the center of a major city. Its Sunday morning attendance was always over 1,000, and there was marvelous music and programs for all ages. The Sunday school was bursting at the seams. The congregation was so proud not only of its choice location, but of the Tiffany stained glass windows and its forceful, full-range 65 rank pipe organ. This great city was hit head-on by the civil rights movement in the 70s. Church attendance began to wane. Enormous conflict stirred in the heart of that congregation, and the people of God there on that corner were just overwhelmed. Finally, the decision was made that it would not integrate. Many of its members were already moving to the suburbs, and attendance really just dropped to nothing. Within a few years, the church could no longer maintain its staff and care for the building. Repairs left undone damaged many of the beautiful classrooms. About 2 years ago, I learned that this congregation was being dissolved and the building was to be sold to the highest bidder. It's hard to believe that a church would be sold to the highest bidder. The church never integrated, yet within walking distance of its front doors, there were more than 2,000 people who needed to belong to a church, and most of them were multicultural and multiracial. Now, one cannot help to ask this question. What would happen if at the center of this body of Christ was the commandment to go into all the world to win people to the kingdom of God? You see, that's really what it means to bear fruit. If the branches are not pruned and stay close to the vine, Jesus said they will not bear fruit. When I first came to Atlanta in 1971, I was assigned to a church on the south side of our city. Many of our district meetings were held in a church there. It was going through the same kind of conditions. It was really traumatic to this church with such beautiful insides. I mean, it was a gorgeous building. It had a 65-rank pipe organ, and I remember it, too, had Tiffany stained glass windows. I don't know, Tiffany must have been in Atlanta, but the windows were just gorgeous. And I often learned new words, though, at our meetings. We'd come, and I heard words like blockbusting. I'd never heard that before. But I heard that the attendance in this great church was down to about 125 on Sunday, and this was an all-white church that was now in a transitional neighborhood. Such terrible conflict. Now, I'm not sure when or who, but the decision was made that this church, the body of Christ there, would be there for whomever it could, wherever they lived. It was a painful decision for many people. In fact, some said it was like being cut off. You know, maybe they meant pruned. In any case, if you were to go to that church this Sunday morning, you would find a church that is bursting at its seams, multiple services, a large staff, and they ministry to more than 4,000 or 5,000 persons each week. This church, the Ben Hill United Methodist Church, nearly closed, but then it decided to let its pruning make it strong. You know, it is for sure one of the strongest churches in Methodism. Several years ago, I returned from Russia, and I was in the city of Karaganda. Karaganda is in one of the new Commonwealth independent states there in the former USSR. It's called Kazakhstan. The state is called Kazakhstan. The city, Karaganda, has nearly 1 million people. I shared with our congregation that Sunday that it was the hardest trip I've ever taken. I was told there that I was arriving in the spring. Well, you could have fooled me, friends, because the temperature was below 22 degrees, 22 degrees below zero. Now, I saw college professors standing in line hoping to be able to buy bread and a little food. I sat beside children who will probably die for the lack of simple antibiotics. I saw many old women in the streets begging, women like your grandmother and mine. Why are there so many older women begging in the streets? I asked my English professor friend, who, by the way, holds 3 jobs just to be able to live. John, she said, before Russia collapsed, these people had adequate food and housing. While we didn't have much, we did not starve. Now the pension, or Social Security as you call it, she said, pays only about $6 a month. It may be better now, but then it was only $6 a month. They can't make it, she said. You know, the suicide rate among the elderly people in that city is higher than all the suicides in the state of New York. While I was there on Easter Sunday morning, I attended a worship service in a tenement building in Karaganda. There were, at the beginning, 45 small children who led the worship with singing. As the people continued to come in, I saw a man in his late 50s escorting an elderly woman to a seat 2 rows in front of me. After the service, I got to meet her. She was 94 years old. I heard her tell the young man next to her, "I have prayed every day," she said, "that in my life, that one day I could come here to worship in the name of Jesus. And today it has happened." Her face was so full of joy and her eyes glistened that I thought to myself, this woman has been close to the vine. You know, it's my hunch that somewhere in the eternal history, we will learn of countless persons who were influenced for Christ through the faithful witness, through the prayer of this disciple of Christ. Jesus said, "It is the fruit of your life that bears witness to your discipleship." And I can tell you this, good friends, that seeing that little woman who survived such hardship and still witnessed to her faith, well, it caused me to pray much more for a faith like hers. Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, again, I want to thank you for the calls and texts. It's been so encouraging to me. One person asked me where I got my stories. Well, I can tell you this, they're all true. I never make up stories or mention real names. Some of the settings are maybe a little bit different, but if I say someone's real name, I've already asked permission to tell you. You see, our stories are sacred. We are our stories. When we share our stories with each other, it's really a sacred moment. Think about that. Imagine what it must have been like to sit around with Jesus and talk about his story and your story. Your story is sacred to him, and he wants to hear it from you. We call it prayer. You know, it's not a call to confession. It's a call to be real with one who loves you unconditionally. Almost all of what we remember about what Jesus taught is contained in the stories about real life that he told. It's because the power of the gospel is in the stories and what they mean. That's why I do my best to share the stories of the gospel that are in the lives of people so that others might learn. Those are real stories about people. Thank you for making it possible for us to keep doing it. You can call or text me at 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162, or MethodistHourInternational.com, or on Facebook. But I just pray that He pours out His love all over you. Blessings on you. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.